This is the Generation Example Podcast.
You guys got a Bible? You guys can open up to 1 Timothy. And we are going to be doing a series I'm going to call Foundation. And I want to start by sharing a little bit. You know, before I was a youth pastor, I was a construction worker. I don't know if you guys knew that, right? I used to build houses. I used to do masonry. And even when I was in the Marine Corps, I was a construction engineer. So one of the things they trained me to do was they trained me to build bridges. And then guess what? And they would blow them up. That's right. That was the fun part. So we'd put them together, and then we'd blow them up. So we didn't really build them all that great because we knew we were just going to destroy them. So we didn't really put in the work. But one of the things that you learn very early in construction is that the most important piece of construction is the foundation. It's the thing you lay before you lay anything else. The thing you put down very first. You know, in a house we have foundations. This building has a foundation. And if your foundation isn't right, then what happens is when you put the building on top of the foundation, it could be all crooked and things don't line up and, you know, it makes it real difficult. As a matter of fact, the roofers have the hardest job, the people who build the roofs, because they got to deal with everybody's mistakes, right? Because if the foundation is wrong, then the walls are wrong. And if the wall's wrong, the roofer's got to put the roof on. And they're like, oh, man, everything's wrong. And then they got to deal with it. And ultimately, if you don't get the foundation right, the whole building could fall apart. And so foundations are imperative when it comes to construction. But this is a principle that not only works, is not only true in construction, it's true in our lives. We need to have a solid foundation when we build our lives. You got to think of our families or relationships or even education or even all these things. It's necessary that in the very beginning you build a strong foundation. Otherwise, as you grow and you get older and you start making mistakes, you're going to see that some of these things you put in your life early are messing with. And this is also true when it comes to ministry. Now, this ministry, GX, which stands for Generation Example, we have a foundation. And it's a foundational verse. And the verse is 1 Timothy 4:12. And what I want to do for the next 3 weeks is we're going to talk about this verse in great detail. And really, I want you guys to understand, how is this verse a foundation for this ministry? Because really, this ministry, all that we're doing with Philippines, all that we're doing with winter camp, all that we're doing with teaching, all that we're doing with small groups, everything we want to do is really built on the foundation of this verse. And my goal and my hope is that as we move forward, this verse not only becomes the foundation of this ministry, but also the foundation of your guys' lives. Because I believe this verse and all of God's words is something we really want to build our lives on top of it. Meaning we really want to learn these Bible verses, learn how they apply to our lives, and really apply them to our lives and really make decisions in light of these verses as we move forward. So as we begin, though, like I always do, we want to watch a short video. So this is a news clip from 2005, and so it's about 2 minutes long, and I want you guys to check it out.
Population about 8,200 woke up to their new mayor this morning. While the vote count is still unofficial, he is settling into office, looking forward to his new administration and the senior prom. The new mayor is in high school. His story tonight from NBC's Carl Quintanilla.
English class just wasn't the same today for Michael Sessions.
I'm looking for my identity.
His mom showed up for one thing, and reporters called.
Oh, Wendy, how are you?
All right, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Asking to talk to the new mayor-elect of Hillsdale, Michigan.
They look at me, oh. So, how old are you? Do you have the messages? Or?
His honor, but you can call him Michael, is a high school senior who unofficially beat the incumbent last night with a write-in campaign he financed with his summer job earnings, going door-to-door.
I think it's just showing that the youth can step up and show that they can do things for the community.
Being mayor here pays only a few thousand a year, but the young political junkie says his motivation was bringing new ideas to a troubled town. Hillsdale has lost jobs to outsourcing, including his own father's.
Your parent will come home and say, well, I don't have a job. It's like, you know, you don't believe it, but then you have to start thinking, oh, well, we're going to have to cut back.
Already, he says he owes the victory to his base, his friends, the fire department, who endorsed him.
I don't think age really was an issue. They were impressed with his
enthusiasm.
Indeed, he's a rare example of this cable TV generation, for whom a political career does not seem a loser's bet.
Who knows, maybe he'll be the president someday.
That question, for now, is off limits.
It's taking it one step at a time.
See, now that sounds like something a politician would say.
Even before he's sworn in, he's learning fast.
What'd you guys think of that, right? Why would an 18-year-old mayor make the front headlines of the news? And this was a big deal when it happened in 2005. He was on Letterman. He was on the Conan O'Brien show. He was on the Late Night with Ferguson. He was on Jimmy Fallon. He was on, what other ones are there? He was on them all, right? He was on every show, but why? What is the big deal about an 18-year-old mayor? Anybody want to take a shot? I hear mumbling. Somebody speak up. It's not true. It has happened. As a matter of fact, we've had 11-year-old mayors before in Texas. Actually, a great mayor that was 11. That's pretty cool. I forget his name, but somebody was telling me this morning. But why? Why is that such a big deal? He's not the youngest ever. He is young, right? But what is it about young people that makes it odd for them to be mayor? Usually adults were up for the jobs, I heard. It's not common, right? What else? There's another word we have for that. Here's where I'm going with. This is what I'm going with, right? Young people aren't expected to do this type of thing, right? There's no expectation for young people these days to actually be the mayor, or really, they're not really expected to do much of anything these days, right? And here's my first point is this. Expectations for teens are really low today. And I think some of you maybe don't feel this way because you feel like, why? What are you talking about? I have to go to school. I have to clean my room. I have to, you know, eat my vegetables. I have to, you know, not talk on the cell phone really late at night. My parents get mad at me. I have to make my bed. What are you talking about? Well, I just want to share with you all of those expectations in the world of expectations. They're really low. If you think about it, not much in your house depends on you. When was the last time you had to worry about whether or not the heat was going to be turned off? Right? When was the last time you had to worry about if there was going to be food on the table? Now, I realize some of you are in really hard situations where maybe you are carrying that burden. And so maybe, I'm sure there's a few of you in here that have really high expectations. You're really expected to produce a lot at home. But for the most part, young people aren't, all you're really expected to do is what? Go to school, get good grades, right? Try to get into college, maybe play some sports, right? If you have a job, it's really just your extra spending money, so your parents don't have to give you an allowance, but you still don't really pay for any bills. Parents probably still pay your cell phone bill if you have one. You know, your parents probably still bought all your video games if you have video games. Your parents probably buy all your clothes mostly, right? You're not really expected to provide for yourself. You're not really expected to really do anything that hard. You're just expected to kind of not get in too much trouble because, you know, but it's okay to get in trouble because you're under 18, right? And you're still a minor and it'll all start over when you're 18, right? But expectations generally for teens are very low. Now, interesting thing is the Bible has a very different story and a very different idea of how and what kind of expectations young people should have. So if you guys got your Bible, open it up and we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and I'm going to share some stuff with you. Now, to understand this verse, we got to understand who Timothy was. Timothy was a guy, right? He was a young guy. He was probably in his 20s or 30s, right? And this book of 1 Timothy is a letter that this guy Paul wrote to Timothy. Okay, well, who's Paul? Paul is this guy that was radically transformed by God, right? And he went and shared the gospel all over the world. He's, you know, all these books we have in the Bible, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, these are all places that Paul would plant churches and encourage and everything. And now Paul's getting really old. Paul's like this old dude. He's like maybe 60, 70 years old. And he knows, man, you know what, times I'm going to be out of here. I got to really raise up this younger guy to do some stuff. And this young guy's name is Timothy. And so here, this letter of Timothy, right, is Paul writing to this young guy, this guy that he's been working with and kind of showing him the ropes about what it means to be a pastor, what it means to be an evangelist, what it means to be a man of God. And he's like, and he writes this letter to him, just encouraging him and teaching him and helping him understand how to be the man God is calling him to be, even though he's young. Right? You guys seeing all this? The young. So this is what he says. So in 1 Timothy, right, chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says this, right? And this is our foundational verse. This is the verse this whole ministry is built on. This is our foundation, right? It says this, is don't let anybody look down on you because you are young, but what? Set an example for all believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now this is a great verse, but today we're just going to focus on that first part. The first part that says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And I think this is huge, right? This is a huge verse, right? We want to not let anybody look down on us because we're young. Now, to fully understand this verse, it's helpful if we look at different translations. If you guys don't know, the Bible was like this ancient document that was translated into English, and there's like 100 different translations. And sometimes, if you want to understand more fully what a verse means, you can look at different translations and kind of get a different picture. It's kind of looking at something at a different angle, right? And so I'm going to read to you. I got three here that I really like, right? The first one says, let no one despise you for your youth, right? Let nobody despise you because you're young. The second one says, hey, don't let anybody make fun of you because you're young, right? There's no reason just because you're young that people should look down on you, despise you, or make fun of you. And this last one is my favorite. It says, you are young, but don't let anyone treat you as if you're not important, right? And it's that last one, I think, that our culture is guilty of. I think our culture is guilty of treating young people today like they don't matter. Right, that they're not important. I mean, we'd say that you're important as a person, but what we'd also say is, look, your time to do anything value to our community and to our culture, it's not yet, it's later. Right? We just want you to just don't mess things up for us. Don't make too much trouble. Don't make my life too miserable. Right? Just kind of stay in your own little teenage world, you know, doing teenage things, but leave the important, mature stuff to adults. Right, but we see right here the Bible says no. Don't let anybody treat you like you're not important. And so the Bible would say, you know what? You are important. You do have something of value to this generation. You do have something useful. You do have something to contribute no matter how old you are. And I love that. Not only does the Bible say that here, we see time and time again throughout all of Scripture stories of God radically using teenagers in the Bible. Some of my favorite ones, Joseph. You guys all know who Joseph was? Joseph, when he was 17, he was kind of an idiot at times, and he said some things he shouldn't, and so his brothers got mad at him, they sold him into slavery, and he got shipped off to Egypt at 17 years old. And it wasn't that was so amazing, it's the fact that even then he was able to remain true to God, and God radically used him and made him second in command in Egypt after all that. And so Joseph is a radical testimony of somebody young doing something awesome. Think about David and Goliath, right? Oftentimes we think of David when he fought Goliath as this, you know, this strong, old, maybe 30, 35, seasoned warrior. No, David was like 18 years old when he faced Goliath. All he had was a sling, a staff, but he understood that it didn't matter how old he was or who he was, but that he could be victorious because he had God on his side. And so we see God using him radically at 18 years old. There was a king in the Old Testament named Josiah. Josiah's parents were wicked, wicked, wicked people. And when Josiah was 18, he became king, and he was able to turn away from the wickedness of his parents, and he radically changed all of Israel and everything that was going on. He tore down all the idols, and he reinstituted a lot of stuff, and so you see this young king at 18 years old doing awesome things. We see Daniel, when the overtaking of Babylon, when that all happened, Daniel was only a teenager. And he was able to, even in the midst of like these really hard stuff, he was able to do what was right and began to, God made him and turned him into one of their magistrates and their leaders. And so we see even Daniel at a young age was doing awesome. Even the disciples in the New Testament, some believe that John was, you know, only 16 years old when he met Jesus, right? And so we see the disciples were very young and some as teenagers. And even Mary herself, they say, was only 16 years old when the angel came and pronounced that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. Imagine the pressure and the responsibility that it must have when an angel comes and says, oh, by the way, you're going to carry the baby that's going to save the world, you know? Sweet, you know? Not right now, I got a lot of homework, you know? Right? But think about that, you know, the responsibility that God required teenagers to do. It's just amazing. And God, here's the point. All this I really want you guys to understand is that God uses youth. He uses young people to do awesome things. He did it in the Bible. He talks about it in the Bible. And he still does it today. The problem is we live in a culture that doesn't understand this. And it doesn't value it. Now, I think there's a lot of you in here. I think you guys want to be used by God. I think a lot of you in here want to do awesome things for God. But the problem is you're like fighting a culture that kind of pushes you down and says, not yet, not yet, not yet. But in your heart, you're like, no, I want to do something awesome. I want God to radically use me. I want to, you know, do this and do that. And I think you can, but I think what needs to happen is we got to change the way we think. See, a lot of times, you know, you can't change what you do until you change the way you think. And so what we need to do is this, and I want you guys to, this is in your handout, I want you to write it down. You need to see your youth as an opportunity and not an excuse. See your youth as an opportunity and not an excuse. What do I mean by this? Well, for a lot of people, being young is an excuse to waste your time, waste your money, and just do whatever you want, and you just don't really worry about it because you're not grown yet and you don't have a responsibility and all this stuff. And this is just true. I don't know if you guys know this, but we have something that's going on right now called adult adolescence. You guys heard of this? This is grown men well into their 30s who are still acting like 15-year-olds. Right? Still trying to be young and acting like they're young. We have a whole definition for it. Right? It's because they don't understand that youth is not an excuse to do nothing. Right? And so you got to understand there's a certain concrete things that I think you guys have as an opportunity to do awesome things. But what are those? I got three I want to share with you guys. The first one is money. Right? You guys may not understand right now, but pretty much, for the most part, all of you guys have no bills. So you guys don't pay your cell phone bill, you don't pay rent, you don't pay electricity, you don't pay for your food. You know, the only thing you guys pay for is like movies, and if you guys want to go to In-N-Out, or if you guys want to go to Taco Bell, you know, you gotta, you know, maybe your parents make you buy that. Anything extra, but you gotta realize, since you're young and you don't have any bills, you have this incredible opportunity to use your money for something awesome. What you don't understand is when you get old like me, your money is spoken for. I got kids, I got bills, I got all this stuff, and it's like I get this paycheck, and literally none of it goes to like me where I can just spend whatever I want. Like I never get on payday, it's not like, oh yeah, I'm going to go get a new Wii, you know, I want the Wii U, I'm going to go buy it. No. On payday, it's like rent, bills, Cade needs shoes, Cassidy needs some new dance shoes. Cassidy's doing dance, she's so cute. Her little tap shoes, Jenny needs some clothes. Maybe if we're lucky, we got some. You know, so I have all these bills, but you got nothing. And so it's an awesome time in your youth to be able to use your money towards something awesome. And we just saw in the video, I loved it when the Michael Sessions says, where did he get the money for his campaign? He got it working at a summer job. He made $700. And because he's a senior in high school, he was able to take all that money and do what? Not pay his bills, just put it all into running for mayor. Right? And so when you're young, you got to understand that you have a unique opportunity with your finances to do something great. Second thing, time. You guys have more time now, more free time, than you ever will in your entire life probably. Maybe except for when you retire. But right now, you have an incredible amount of time. Right? I have so many things I need to get done, I just don't have the time to do it. Right? So we end up having to pay people to do things. Right? Time is very, very important as you get older, but you guys don't realize it. That's one thing you guys have tons of now. You get to hang out with your friends. You can go do this. You can go do that. You got, you know, Christmas break. You got summer break. You guys are in an awesome opportunity to use your time in a way you will never be able to again in your youth. And I want to encourage you guys to take advantage of that. The last thing is energy. You guys don't realize that you're not going to have the energy you have your whole life, man. You get to be my age, man. Tired, right? Really tired. I go to bed at 8:30 and I'm like, oh man, I gotta get up at 6, you know? But you guys stay up all night. I mean, literally when I was younger, I could go to bed at 1-2 every night, get up at 6, and I was cool. You know, get like 4 or 5 hours of sleep. Doesn't bother me. So you guys gotta realize you have, you know, think about, those are just three things. Your money, your time, and your energy, right? What if you use this time as a young person and use all of those, this opportunity to do something great, to really be used by God? You have a unique opportunity being young. There's a famous quote. It says, youth is wasted on the young. Youth is wasted on the young. And that quote is basically saying what I just said. You guys, in your youth, have a unique opportunity. Don't waste your youth doing, you know, it's okay to have a good time. I'm not saying, you know, there's no fun allowed. But at the same time, you got to realize you have an opportunity right now to do awesome things. And the question really is, are you going to do it, right? Are you going to use your time and your energy and your money and all of this opportunity to do an awesome thing for God and really mark who you are and who God has created you to be, even at a young age? So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word and what it teaches us, Lord, about who we need to be and who we're called to be, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this ministry, GX, Lord, would be a ministry, Lord, that encourages, challenges, and just gives opportunity for young people, Lord, to be an example to other people, no matter what their age, Lord, that we would have radical examples of people in this group doing exceptional things for you, Lord, for your glory, Lord, because you are calling us, Lord, as people to make a difference, Lord, not just to waste our life, Lord, not just to waste our youth, Lord, not just to waste our money and our time and our energy on frivolous things, Lord, but to pour those resources into your kingdom, Lord, and realize that that's what's going to last, Lord. That's what's going to matter, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen all of us. Lord, I pray for those in here, Lord, who are struggling with family issues. Lord, I know there's some with parents who are divorced or divorcing. I know there's some with loved ones lost, Lord. I know there's people struggling with school, Lord, and this last semester was really bad, Lord, and they're just praying to get on the right track for 2013, Lord. And I know, Lord, that you are working in so many different ways in this room, Lord, and we just want to ask, Lord, that you would be with each and every student here. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.